This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. In this week's program, the UN Human Rights Office details absolutely horrific militia and government attacks in DRC's Kasai region. And UN agencies are supporting Eritrea on its path to sustainable development. But first, the arrival of a UN regional force in South Sudan will enable the UN mission in the country, UNMISS, to free up additional peacekeepers to mount more patrols along insecure roads, the mission's chief, David Shearer, said on Tuesday. Mr. Shearer, who is also the special representative of the UN Secretary General for South Sudan, was speaking in the capital, Juba, following the weekend arrival of the first 120 soldiers of the Rwandan Battalion of the Regional Protection Force. The RPF, as it's known, was mandated by the UN Security Council with up to 4,000 troops and will bolster the mission's capacity to deter violence and protect civilians in the South Sudanese capital. The Council authorized the force in the wake of the violence in Juba in July last year. A Nepalese high readiness company and over 100 Bangladeshi engineers have already arrived in the mission area as part of the force. Mr. Shearer said the arrival of these contingents marks the beginning of the phased deployment of the RPF in Juba. Some 600 additional Rwandan peacekeepers will arrive in the next few weeks, while the arrival of Ethiopian troops is imminent, he added. RPF troops will be based in Juba and will operate, if necessary, in surrounding areas, he said.
UNMISS is always and consistently assessing its priorities. Having additional troops means we can carry out more tasks related to our mandate to protect civilians and build durable peace. For example, it will enable us to put more patrols along insecure roads where there have been attacks on civilian vehicles, such as on the Juba-Nimile Road and on the Juba-Bor Road.
A number of attacks have taken place along those routes. In the latest, five people were reportedly killed last week when a convoy was attacked by armed men near Moli Village, a known trouble spot on the Juba-Nimile Road. Expressing his condolences, Mr. Shearer said that all our peacekeepers strive to be robust, nimble, and proactive in our response. But, he added, as we all know, fighting persists and insecurity for civilians remains a real challenge. The RPF is not a separate UN peacekeeping force, the UNMISS chief explained.
While it is separate in the sense of its mandate and its delivery here is separate, it remains under one command, which is the UNMISS command. It will be commanded by a Brigadier General, but ultimately it comes under the force commander, who ultimately comes under me.
The force will carry out its operations in cooperation with the government of South Sudan. The UN Human Rights Office, OHCHR, has released a report of absolutely horrific accounts of killings and human rights violations against villagers in the Kasai region of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The report was based on interviews with nearly 100 refugees from the volatile region who have fled to neighboring Angola. UN investigators were able to confirm that between March and June of this year, 251 people were the victims of extrajudicial and targeted killings, often carried out on the basis of ethnicity. We get that story from Matt Wells.
The accounts from the refugees were absolutely horrific, even following the impressions of our team, which was an extremely experienced team. It's rare that they report this degree of cruelty being witnessed.
That's Scott Campbell, chief of OHCHR's Central and West Africa section, who briefed journalists in Geneva on the report's findings. Investigators say that among the dead confirmed from just one small area of the Kasais were 62 children, of which 30 were under 8 years old. Survivors spoke of hearing screams from people being burned alive, and one woman described having her arm chopped off before managing to escape into the forest. Two of those interviewed died from their wounds after giving testimony. Fighting in the region began a year ago between Kamuina and Sapu militia and government forces, but a pro-government militia, the Banamura, was formed earlier this year from three ethnic groups allegedly armed and supported to attack other ethnicities. Here's Scott Campbell again.
What our investigators gathered on the ground were many accounts of the Congolese army, the Congolese national police, and local administrators working in conjunction with this newly created militia, the Banamura, in attacking villages, often along ethnic lines. And one of our great concerns is that what is already an extremely grave situation could spiral further out of control, and in particular along ethnic lines.
In one of the most shocking attacks in the village of Sank, 90 patients and others sheltering in a health centre were killed, including some in surgery. The UN Human Rights Chief, Zayd Raad al-Hussein, said that the refugees' accounts should serve as a grave warning to the government of the DRC. Mr. Campbell outlined OHCHR's recommendations going forward.
First and foremost, the High Commissioner is calling for credible investigations into who is responsible exactly for what's going on, and calling for those individuals, be they members of militia, be they members of state agencies, to be held to account. Secondly, for instructions to be given by the government for the attacks to stop. Importantly, as well, will be that there's full collaboration with an international team of experts that has recently been created by the Human Rights Council.
That international team will begin its work in a few months, but investigating atrocities in the Kasais has been hampered by lack of access and fighting on the ground. The UN mission in the DRC, MONUSCO, has already identified 80 mass graves in the region. Matt Wells, United Nations.
Helping Eritrea to confront challenges such as food insecurity and infant mortality is the goal of the latest five-year plan between the UN and the country's government. The Horn of Africa country ranks at number 179 out of 188 nations on the UN Development Programme's Human Development Index, which measures indicators such as life expectancy and education levels. John Ging, Operations Director with the UN Humanitarian Affairs Office, OCHA, traveled to Eritrea in July and visited various UN-backed projects that are making a difference in citizens' lives, such as a health clinic. He told me how the UN has been supporting the country's efforts to meet global development objectives.
Well, what the UN is doing is, first and foremost, it had been focused on the Millennium Development Goals, working with the government of Eritrea. And a lot of progress was made, particularly in the health MDGs. It is in the first instance about helping the sustainable development in the country. Practically speaking, it means programs across the board from the point of view of a country that is heavily dependent on agriculture and yet is in a region that suffers a lot of harsh climatic impact. We're talking about water management, irrigation, the whole question of what else can be done to help in agriculture to make it more efficient and more productive. So a lot of very good work being done by UNDP, by the Food and Agricultural Organization, and so forth.
Eritrea is a country we don't really hear a lot about. I wonder if you can tell us, in terms of children there, what exactly is the situation?
Yeah, well, Eritrea is a relatively small country. It's one of the newest countries in the world as well. We should remember that. And it's had, sadly, a difficult birth because, you know, it had a very big conflict with its neighbour, Ethiopia. And therefore, you know, it has struggled to get to achieve its ambition for its people. So the most vulnerable in any society are children. And there, the challenge principally is around food security. Because, as I mentioned before, agriculture struggles in a region that is, you know, suffering from a very harsh climate. That means that that we have to be particularly alert and focused on the health and well-being of children.
And the new plan with the government, has it already begun?
Yes, the new plan began at the beginning of this year, so it's 2017 to 2021. And it's the full range of UN interventions on the programmatic side. So you have all of the different UN entities there as part of that comprehensive approach. But what is additional in this program now is that there is specific programming around gender, around human rights, around youth, and around migration. I mean, these are, again, big challenges for Eritrea, and again, showing the good partnership that now exists, the trust and confidence that is now there in the relationship with the United Nations.
You've been listening to UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.